Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 72 of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you some breaking news.
Live from my basement, it's a weekday night. Welcome to Weekday Update, the show where I don't actually update you on anything. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's. I mean, who needs actual news updates when you can have me cracking jokes instead? It's just me this week. I know that's probably very disappointing, but I promise it's going to be a great show. Maybe even my best show, like, ever. Unfortunately, this week, my guest got sick and I irresponsibly didn't book a backup guest. So here we are. I'm not sure if I told you guys this, but I recently decided that I might want to dabble in stand-up comedy. I mean, I figured I'm already pretty good at making my friends laugh. My mom thinks I'm hilarious, and sometimes I notice, like, strangers pointing at me in stores and, like, giggling and stuff. So I must be pretty darn funny, so why not give it a shot? I mean, you know. But then I realized that stand-up comedy is a lot like jumping into a swimming pool for the first time. It's like you're not quite sure if you're going to sink, swim, or drown, but either way, it's going to be a whole lot of fun for the people watching you, or in this case, listening to you. So being a consummate professional, I did some research and learned that the key to being a successful stand-up comedian is all about finding humor in everyday things. So started paying attention to my daily life, and let me tell you, there really is comedy gold in everyday life. Everywhere you look, there's something funny. Like, for example, have you noticed that we all have that one friend who uses their social media as some type of journal? Like, they don't understand that we don't, you know, care for their oversharing. But I mean, come on, Tamara, we don't need a play-by-play of your lunch plans or your sex life. Just saying. And don't even get me started with my best friend, whose name I am choosing not to use. He really loves dating apps. Like, it's a never-ending game of, is this person actually normal, or are they just really good at hiding their craziness? But I figure if I can put up with all that bullshit, then I can definitely handle a few minutes of trying to make people laugh on the podcast. And who knows, maybe one day you'll see me headlining at the Laugh Factory. So watch out, world, because I'm about to dive headfirst into the ocean of stand-up comedy, and I'm not afraid to make a splash or, you know, belly flop. As most of you know, my main source of income is from acting, and I never really talked to you guys about acting, so let me tell you what it's been like for me. My journey as an actor, it's been like a roller coaster ride, because I really thought that with such a thriving career, I'd be living next door to a Kardashian within like a year, and quickly realized that the glamorous red carpet life that I had always imagined was just not quite the reality of being an actor. For starters, auditioning for roles is basically like going to a series of awkward blind dates. You walk into a room of judgmental strangers, you try to impress them with your talent, and hope that they're going to like you enough to give you a shot. It's like speed dating, but with monologues and character breakdowns. And let's talk about the actual work. People always think, you know, being an actress means getting to play dress up and pretend all day, but in reality, it's a lot of waiting around on set for hours and hours only to deliver a single line. It's like waiting in line at the DMV, but with a lot more hairspray and sometimes fake blood. Then there's the glamorous world of self-tapes. If you're not familiar, a self-tape is when you film an audition at home and send it in. Sounds really simple, right? Wrong. It's a delicate dance of finding the right lighting, angles, and background, and all of this while trying to perform your best under the pressure of knowing that you only have one shot to get it right. It's like trying to take the perfect selfie with the added stress of potentially ruining your chances at landing a role. And let's not forget about the inevitable rejection that comes with the territory. I've been turned down for roles more times than I can count. And let me tell you, it can really mess with your self-esteem, but I've learned to embrace the rejection. After all, if I can survive being told no by a room full of strangers, I can survive anything. But I'll be honest, despite all the challenges and the occasional existential crisis of of the whole thing, you know, being an actress is still the most fulfilling and exhilarating thing I've ever done. It's a constant adventure of stepping into different shoes and exploring the depths of human emotion. Plus, who doesn't love getting to play make-believe for a living and get paid for it? So, in conclusion, as if I'm writing an essay or something, being an actress is like a wild, unpredictable journey that constantly keeps you on your toes. It's a mix of rejection, perseverance, and the sheer joy of bringing stories to life. And hey, if all else fails, at least I'll have some great audition stories to tell on this podcast. Am I right? If I had one of those little ba-dum-tsh sounds, I would have played it just there. So yeah, as if being an actress wasn't challenging enough, I'm also blonde. And being blonde comes with its own set of challenges. For example, I once spent 20 minutes looking for my belt, only to have my friend Bobby tell me that I was wearing it the whole time. And now that I think about it, you think he could have told me sooner? Like, what's wrong with that guy? Not a very good friend. Not a very good friend, that Bobby. And don't get me started on the whole blonde jokes thing. I've heard them all, trust me. But you know what they say, blondes have more fun, right? I can't begin to tell you how much fun I'm having constantly battling with the stereotype that I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I mean, I'm actually very smart. I went to Harvard for a day before I ultimately quit to pursue an acting career, but it still counts. And despite having an IQ that got me into Harvard, I do have my moments, like the time I started a fire in the microwave because I tried to melt my soap and put it in a chocolate mold, which was made from plastic. Like, I put the soap in the mold and then put the mold in the microwave. I just wanted my soap to be like dolphin shaped. It was not my finest hour. I mean, in my defense, I was like 10 years old, but I feel like I probably still should have known better. But being blonde also means embracing the fact that I can get away with saying some pretty stupid things and just blame it on being blonde. Like when I accidentally insult my friend's new outfits or haircuts or whatever it is, and quickly follow it up by saying, oh, sorry, I'm just having a blonde moment. And let's talk about the one struggle of maintaining my hair. The amount of money I've spent on hair products is ridiculous. And don't even get me started on the bleach damage. Yep, I'm not really a blonde, guys. I was born a brunette. Don't tell anyone. I'm literally one deep conditioner away from turning into a walking coconut. Despite all the stereotypes and struggles, being a blonde is just a big part of who I am, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, if nothing else, with this platinum blonde do, I will always stand out in a crowd. So here's to all my fellow blondies out there. May we continue to defy the odds and continue to inspire all the blonde jokes. While we're on the topic of jokes, for many years, I told stories about my friend Dennis, and people just assumed that I was telling jokes until he appeared on this podcast to clear that all up. And now people are always asking me when I'm going to have Dennis back on the show. It's like they can't get enough of Dennis. Sometimes I think they like him more than me. And I get it. I mean, he's got that infectious laugh and those killer jokes, which are not jokes, but just true stories about his actual life. When I had Dennis on the show, my entire audience was just hanging on to his every word. And that was 2 years ago. So I felt like, you know, maybe I'm the warm-up act and he's the main event, which is, you know, not very, very good feeling. It's not a good feeling. I don't like it. It's like having a really funny friend who always steals the spotlight, which I'm not used to, because usually I'm the friend stealing someone else's spotlight. But I mean, I guess that's just the way it goes when you're friends with a natural born idiot. And then there are like fans who keep asking, when is Dennis coming back? We miss Dennis. And it's like they formed some type of Dennis fan club or something. I can't blame them. Dennis is a lot of fun, but I'm starting to feel a little left out here. I love Dennis, but let's not forget who the real star of the show is. It's me, in case you've forgotten. Dennis's stories are pretty crazy, but have you ever felt like your whole life is just one never-ending embarrassing moment? That's been my reality for as long as I could remember. I mean, I'm the only person I know who can fall up the stairs. It's like having a magnetic attraction to humiliation. I remember like one of my first auditions, I was so nervous. I was in the elevator And the casting director was in the elevator with me, but I didn't know that. And he was talking about the fact that he had worked in this building since it opened. And I looked at him and I said, wow, you must be really old. Needless to say, I did not book that job. And I never got called in to audition for that guy again. So I'd like to issue an apology to him, if he's listening, which I doubt. I think he's forgotten that I existed, or actually, I just hope that he has. It's not just big moments like that either where I embarrass myself. It's like little things too, like when I'm telling a joke and no one laughs, or when I wave at someone and then I realize they were waving at the person behind me. It's like my life is one big blooper reel. I've come to accept that I'm just naturally awkward, and honestly, it's kind of liberating. I don't have to worry about putting on a show or pretending to be someone I'm not, except of course when I'm working because I'm an actress. I'm a walking, talking embarrassment, and I've learned to embrace that. So if you ever feel like you're the only one who can't seem to navigate through life without stumbling over your own 2 feet, just know that you're not alone. We can all laugh at ourselves together and maybe, just maybe, turn our embarrassments into entertainment, like I'm doing right now. So if you listen to the show for any period of time, you know that I'm always asking you guys for recommendations on who you'd like to have me host as a guest on the show. But for some reason, this often leads to people asking me questions. Like the other day, I had someone ask me who my celebrity crush is besides Ben Affleck. And I have to say, that was a really tough question, even though I had no intention of answering it. I really put a lot of thought into it because Ben Affleck is just so dreamy. But then I started thinking and I realized I have a whole list of celebrity crushes that I can't help but swoon over them. Like, have you seen Zac Efron? The man is like a god come to life. And let's not forget about Andrew Garfield with his charming wit, that British accent, the superhero bod. He's got the whole package. But then I started delving into the world of Hollywood heartthrobs, and I realized that there are just too many to choose from. I mean, how can I possibly pick just one? It's like being a kid in a candy store, except the candy is made of abs and dimples and strong chins. And it's not just the guys either. I'm totally straight, but have you seen Jennifer Lawrence? She is like this cool girl next door who you can't help but want to hang out with. And then Emma Stone with her quirky charm and those killer acting chops. Just, she's irresistible. I want to be their best friends. Emma, Jennifer, if you're listening to this, we should become a throuple, but like a friendship throuple. We could be like besties, okay? But to answer the question of who my celebrity crush is besides Ben Affleck, I'd have to say anyone who can make me laugh and whip up a mean cup of coffee, specifically at Dunkin' Donuts, whose alter ego was once Batman and maybe has a very strong jawline, because in case you didn't know, Ben Affleck occasionally moonlights as a Dunkin' Donuts employee. And at the end of the day, it's not about the fame or the fortune. It's about finding that special someone who makes your heart skip a beat, whether they're on the big screen or just behind the counter at your favorite, you know, coffee shop, and is actually Ben Affleck. So I guess all this to say that my celebrity crush besides Ben Affleck is probably just still Ben Affleck. So anyway, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been feeling a little lost since Tom Brady retired. I miss him. The man, the myth, the legend. The guy who could throw a football like it's nobody's business and win Super Bowls like it's a walk in the park. Tom Brady, where are you? Because the world really needs you to save us from reality or something like that. I mean, come on, I never thought I'd see the day where I'd be longing for a football player like he's my long-lost best friend. But here we are. It's like he's left this void in my heart that can only be filled by watching him throw touchdown pass after touchdown pass. And let's not forget his undeniable charm and good looks. I mean, I don't have a crush on him, but there's no use in denying that the man is pretty easy on the eyes. But seriously, it's not just about football. It's about the feeling of security and confidence that Tom Brady brought to the game and somehow also to my life. I just knew that when he was on the field, no matter how bad things were, everything was going to be okay. And Now it feels like I'm just wandering around hoping for a Hail Mary pass to save us from the chaos of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And don't even get me started on the memes and jokes that have come out since his retirement. I've seen more Tom Brady memes than I can count. It's like the internet can't cope with this loss either. But hey, maybe it's time for a new era in football. That's what people keep telling me. Maybe it's time for someone else to step up and take the reins, but I don't think so. I miss Tom Brady. I think a lot of us do. So here's to hoping that he'll come back and save us from this void we're all feeling. I mean, in the meantime, I guess we'll just have to settle for watching old highlights and reminiscing about the good old days. At least we have those memories, right? And who knows, maybe, just maybe, one day, my DeLulu will come true, Lulu, and we'll see him back on the field throwing touchdown passes to Gronk, making us all believe in the power of the GOAT once again. Unrelated, but I've also had some people question how it is that every night I fall asleep watching Criminal Minds. And let me tell you, it's not because I find serial killers relaxing, okay? I just have a weird fascination with the show. I mean, who wouldn't want to drift off to dreamland with images of psychopaths and murder scenes dancing in their head? Seriously, I've become a pro at falling asleep to the sound of intense crime-solving dialogue. It's like a lullaby for my twisted mind. I just close my eyes and let the soothing voices of Hotch and Reed lull me into a peaceful slumber. I'm pretty sure I could sleep through a crime scene with those guys narrating it. When I fall asleep, that is, because we all know I'm an insomniac, so I don't actually sleep every night, unfortunately. Anyway, can we talk about the incredibly creepy nightmares that come with binge-watching Criminal Minds? Nothing says a good night's sleep like waking up in a cold sweat from a dream about being chased by a dangerous unsub. It's like my brain is saying, hey, you enjoyed the show so much, let's bring it to life in your dreams. But the best part of falling asleep to Criminal Minds is waking up in the middle of the night to find myself in the midst of an intense episode. I swear I've woken up to the sight of a serial killer dragging a body through the woods more times than I can count. It's like my brain is playing its own twisted version of Where's Waldo while I'm trying to get some sleep. At least I can say I have mastered the art of falling asleep to the most disturbing show on Disney Plus. The last thing I wanted to address, since mentioning I learned more Spanish from a Christina Aguilera album and several episodes of Dora the Explorer, people keep suggesting that I should have Marcelo Hernandez on the show to teach me proper Spanish. And I'm just like, do I really sound that bad? I mean, I know I have a bit of an accent, but I didn't think it was that noticeable. If it's going to make me sound more sophisticated, then all I can say is, Marcelo, ayúdame, por favor. I'm determined to nail this whole Spanish thing with or without Marcelo's help, and maybe one day I'll be fluent enough in Spanish to host a Spanish language episode of this show. Picture it, me sitting there, confidently interviewing celebrities who don't speak Spanish in perfect Spanish, while Marcelo looks on with pride. Seriously, I think it's great that people want to help me improve my Spanish. I mean, I've been trying to learn the language for years, but it's just so freaking hard. Every time I think I've got it down, someone comes along and tells me I'm saying something wrong. Like, for example, I used to think embarazada meant embarrassed in Spanish, but it turns out it actually means pregnant. So yeah, it was a bit of an awkward situation. I probably should have used Google Translate. So now that we're approaching the end of this set, which I wrote, by the way, it felt like a huge project and I am now feeling pretty confident. I mean, confident enough to make an Elle Woods style Harvard application video, you know, like in Legally Blonde, except I won't be looking quite as stunning in a bikini, but hey, I'm still going to give it a shot. I figure if Elle Woods can get into Harvard Law with a video essay, maybe I can convince Lorne Michaels to let me take over for Colin Jost on Weekend Update. I mean, it's just practically the same thing, right? I'm just trading in the law books for some punchlines and a little less bend and snap, a little more stand and deliver. I can just imagine it now, me sitting in front of a camera, trying to look as charming and witty as possible, while struggling to come up with jokes that are as good as Colin's. It's going to be a tough sell, folks. But hey, in all seriousness, I think it's important to take chances and put yourself out there, even if it means embarrassing yourself a little. I have seen some of the old SNL audition tapes. We've all got to start somewhere, right? I'll probably throw in some self-deprecating humor, make a few jokes about my lack of a hot bikini body and my questionable decision-making skills, and maybe do a little song and dance number just for good measure. If Elle Woods can get into Harvard with a video essay about perms, I can definitely land a spot on Weekend Update with my questionable comedic talents. And who knows? Maybe Lorne Michaels will see my video and think, hey, this girl's got potential. Let's give her a shot. Or more likely, he'll see it and think, who let this lunatic near a camera? Either way, it's worth a shot. So wish me luck, because I'll be over here perfecting my Weekend Update application video one awkward joke at a time. And if all else fails, I guess I can always fall back on my bend and snap technique. And with that said, I think that's just about all the comedy I have in me for today. So thank you for being what I can only assume is a great audience. And remember, sometimes you just have to laugh at the chaos of life because none of us are getting out alive. But hey, at least you have Weekday Update to bring you some comedic relief when you need it. I mean, who needs breaking news when you can have breaking bad jokes? So in conclusion, next time you're feeling overwhelmed by the constant barrage of news updates, just remember that you can always count on Weekday Update to not actually update you on anything. I'm Melanie with two L's, and that's the only update you need. Of course, I can't end the show without thanking my sponsors, starting with Michael Solberg Family Wines. Very affordable, a very delicious California wines. Check them out on Instagram at Michael Solberg Family Wines. Second, Huxware, the female-owned, female-created camel toe eliminating moisture wicking underwear made by Hux. Their founder, Jen Govier, is a friend of mine. She's an incredibly inspiring woman, which is the only reason why I agreed to promote underwear on my podcast. So you can check them out on Instagram as well at HUXWEAR. And last but not least, Snack Conscious. The protein balls, I'm convinced, are absolutely responsible for my recent 10-pound weight loss, which probably would have happened faster if I was sponsored by Ozempic. Make sure you also check them out. You guessed it, on Instagram at Snack Conscious, SnackConscious. And that's really all I got. Until next time. Bye bye. It's all.